Good evening. I desire your prayers. Have a burden on my heart that the Lord's been working with me this week, and I'll have to say I'm still chewing on it, to be honest. So hopefully I can bring this out the way the Lord would have me to. I ask for your prayers. It's a message to, I have a burden for God's people, for everyone, but specifically for His church. And when I say His church, I don't mean Oak Grove Church of God. I don't mean the specific people who were just happened to step foot on the Monarch campgrounds. I'm talking about God's people everywhere. All the ones who, well, as the scriptures say, the blood-washed ones, the ones who claim Jesus as their Savior and are doing all that they know and understand. I believe there's so much for us as His people to be about doing. I'd like to kind of lay the groundwork a little bit with something else. It's not necessarily spiritual at first, but I promise we'll get there. Has any of you heard of, or does the name Coronado mean anything to anybody? It's a place in California. I like to study military stuff. I like to read about people who've had experience in the military and read their story. Coronado is a naval amphibious base in California near San Diego. And it is famous, or probably infamous in some folks' eyes, for being the location where some of the most elite soldiers in the world are trained. This is where the Navy SEALs do their most rigorous training, is there and on the beaches in Coronado, California. So in the U.S. military, there's a few different units of special forces. They're special, a lot of times they're abbreviated for spec ops or special ops, and they're typically, they don't go in large groups like you would see a normal battalion or something. It's usually special situations where they usually operate in groups of less than 10. They usually go in as just a few guys, and it's usually in and out real quick, and they accomplish what they need to accomplish real fast, and it's usually very fast and violent. And they go through intense training for these things. And I just want to preface, I'm not trying to glorify any of this or warfare. I want to get some points across, because I believe, as the scripture points out that, the wisdom of the children of this world, the children of light can learn from that. There's things that people do that I think would be good for us to maybe learn from. There's other special operations units. Probably the two that are at the very top would be the Navy SEALs and then Delta Force. They're with the Army. And they're very similar. It's usually high-value targets. That's usually what they're after. They're after either hostage situations or high-value targets, high-value terrorist targets or something like that. But there's a whole process. You can't just walk up to the Navy recruiting officer and say, I want to be a Navy SEAL, and then say, well, fine, you're going to go to Coronado tomorrow. That's not how it works. So there's a very specific process. It can take from the time you enlist in the Navy to the time you get your trident, which is the pin they get when they go through the whole course, it can be years, multiple years, because you first have to do the process of signing up. They volunteer, hey, I want to join the Navy. And when they join, a lot of times they'll sign a contract saying, hey, I'm interested someday becoming a SEAL. They have to go through the same boot camp that everyone else does. They have to go through the whole normal process, the onboarding, everything is the same. But they also have to start right then. Really, they need to start the books I've read and stuff, most of the people have started before they ever joined the military. They had a goal in mind, and the ones who were, maybe I should say the ones who were successful. I think they say about, oh, the people who signed a contract when they joined the Navy to become a Navy SEAL one day, only about 6% actually make it to the process to become a Navy SEAL, not become Navy SEALs, but only about 6% of the people who signed a contract said, I'm interested. Only about 6% even make it to the beginning process of becoming a Navy SEAL. So it's not something that people, that the military takes lightly. They have to, once they've gone through their boot camp and everything, they have to start the process of proving to their superiors that I'm able to do this. Because just to start the class, they have to do some amazing physical feats that I don't think I would ever be able to come close to a quarter of the things they have to do. They have to have a completely clean criminal record. They have to be good moral. They investigate their moral character. It's amazing to me the stuff, the depth they go into. They can't have any kind of a record, criminal record. They can't have any kind of that stuff because they put that much value, because if there's any type of thing in your past of a criminal activity, they look at that like, hey, these guys are going to be counting on you with their life. The country depends on these people, whether we realize it or not. The country depends on these people to maintain our freedom. So let's fast forward several months. Now they have made it to the, got a sign to say, okay, you can go to Coronado now and start the process. Total training time from the time they get to Coronado through all the different places, there's other training after. It's about 20 months, I believe, of intense training. But once they start, about 4 weeks into the process, there is a week that they use to make sure you're serious. During that week, they try to push these people, these young men, to their absolute limit. And they do. They push them to almost the very ends of what the physical body can even endure. The water there, and I can attest to this, I was there earlier this year in San Francisco, but the waters there are not warm. I think the warmest they get is maybe upper 60s, and they do this all throughout the year. So I think in the wintertime, the waters can be down in the 50s. I looked it up. About 70 degrees is when most people start thinking, hey, that's cold water when you jump in. At 70-degree water, if you jump in, you're probably going to have that factor whenever you try to catch your breath, and it's going to take you a second. So let's just lay the groundwork there. The water is very cold. During that week, they only allow, this is 5.5 days. During the 5.5 days, they only allow them about 4 hours of sleep total. For 5.5 days, that's all they get. And that's not 4 hours at any one time. It's 15 minutes here. They let them sleep for maybe 30 minutes there, and then they'll wake them up. And they may put them in a room, make them think they're getting to go to sleep, and they'll come in firing guns and make them get up and run out and go get in the water middle of the night. And then they just make them sit there in the water. Then they'll make them carry boats back and forth across the island. Then they'll have to swim 100 yards and back, and there's just so many things they have to do, and it just pushes them to their absolute, to the absolute limit. I think they have just a few minutes, very few minutes, to eat. They have no time. They eat, and they got to run back out and start doing push-ups, and they push them to their absolute limit. And the instructors, they're there at all times. Let me back up. The instructors are people who's already done this, have already been on missions, and had to have gone through this once before. And so they know what's happening. During that whole time, the instructors are reminded them, you can quit anytime you want. You can stop. Look, go in here. All you got to do is go ring the bell. There's a big bell they have to ring if they quit. And they make it a very, very public spectacle. And they'll tell them, you know, there goes a quitter. That's what a quitter looks like. And so they're constantly trying to make it look, hey, you can stop anytime you want. You just got to quit. Just be a quitter. They'll even tell them, hey, there's coffee and donuts inside. If you just quit, you can go in there and warm up. There's a hot shower. You can go in. You can quit. They're constantly just pounding them and pushing them. And I think they say of the people who start, it's Bud's training, of the people who start that, remember only about 6% even make it to this point, of the 6%, about 45% of them drop out at that point. So it's a very, very few people who make it. But one of the things, one of the stories that I was reading, this man's account, and he was talking about how horrible it was, but how there was a bond that's built between those men when they're going through that, because the instructors aren't doing it just to be mean. At the time, the guys who are going through it, they develop almost a hatred sometimes for their instructors, but the instructors have been there. They've been in the real battle, and I kind of get emotional when I think of some of this stuff, but they're not there to be mean to them. Like I said, the instructors are handpicked as well for men who's been there and done that. And they know the real stresses. They can't recreate an actual situation in the safe confines when, you know, you got people watching. They can't recreate those things outside of war. But what they can do is push these men to the absolute limit of what they can possibly withstand and see what they're made of. Because at the very end of the day, what they want to see is, can I, if it's just me and you, can I count on you to have my back? Can I count on you to get me out of a jam? Can I count on you to pack me out if I'm injured? Can I count on you to, can the country count on you with secret information that's major security type information to the country? Can they want to know, can we count on you? Are you going to be one of our chosen soldiers? It's a highly elite group of people. There's very few people who make it through that. I promise I'm getting to the spiritual side of this, but I wanted to lay this groundwork because part of while they're there, they're not allowed any distractions. They're not allowed contact with the outside world. Very limited. Every once in a while they'll let them have a very brief supervised phone call. I think it's seconds. I think they get maybe 30 seconds or something. It's not long. They have just a few seconds to talk to family. They can send letters from time to time, but it's very inconsistent. They want these men to focus on this. They want them to leave all that behind. Say, you want to become a Navy SEAL? This is what it's going to take. I want to make sure that you're serious about it because it's not going to be easy. When you're in the real world, when you get called to something, to a real situation, this may seem cruel and unusual, but when it's real, you want to know, who can I count on? And there's one story, maybe some of y'all have heard, a man named Marcus Luttrell, and he went through a lot. And he had to live some of this in real life, having to go for days without food, go for days with no sleep, these kind of things. And this is why he pointed back to his training of, you know, that's why these men did that. It wasn't because they hated me. It's because they wanted me to survive. They wanted me to live. I want to read a scripture that the Lord brought to me in the middle of all this that I was studying. Well, he brought me the scripture, and I started tying all of this stuff in because, like I said, I read some of these books and really enjoy it. It's in 2 Timothy. And 2 Timothy, I really like that book, especially if you have a study Bible or anything that kind of gives you a background of what 2 Timothy is. Timothy obviously was a very special person to Paul. Both the letters to Timothy, I think he called him my son. Paul loved Timothy. And this second letter to Timothy, it appears that this was Paul's last correspondence with Timothy, and he knew it. And in the book, he did ask for Timothy to come visiting. He said, if you please come. And I think he asked him to even bring a cloak that he left somewhere. He said, just if you can come visit me and bring some of the parchments. I don't think there's any confirmation that he made it. I don't know if he did or not before Paul was executed. But Timothy was very special to Paul. And Paul was trying to leave some last pastoral, fatherly advice to Timothy of things to watch out for. Second Timothy is full of good, sound instruction. So starting with 2 Timothy, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This is the verse thou wantest to focus on. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Lord help. Like I said at the beginning of this, this thought is for God's church. We've been hearing recently, the last few camp meetings and even our services here, and I've been listening online and seeing it. There's a call, folks, for more. We heard it this morning about Levin. Just a little bit of that dye in the truck he's talking about fills up the whole truck. And just a little bit of something influenced the whole thing. Just a little bit of this little thing over here in my life influenced the entire batch, his entire life. I'm going to give a little analogy of entanglement. I don't even know how long ago it was. It's been several years. I installed an underground dog fence in our yard. And at the time, and so that's, those of you who don't know, it's, I had to dig a trench all the way around the yard and lay a cable, a little wire, all the way around. And it has to be one continuous loop or the collar doesn't work. Well, when I put the fence down, I wasn't as careful as I should have been, and I left a little bit of the leftover wire was on a cardboard spool, and I left it sitting there, and I was finishing up stuff, and I forgot it out in the yard. Well, one of the dogs was still somewhat of a puppy at the time, and he had a great time with that spool of wire. He really enjoyed himself, and it was a mess. It had, whenever you spool stuff off the wrong, like if you just pull something and roll it off the end of a spool, it turns into an entanglement. It was a mess. So, me being the procrastinator, I guess you say that I am, I just got that and kind of wadded it all up and went, put it in my shop. I figured, well, I'll keep this for spare in case I ever have a problem with my fence. I can have this, but I'm not going to fool with untangling it now. Well, fast forward to a couple of weeks ago, all of a sudden the dog fence quit working, and I couldn't figure out why. The little light on there that says, loop was illuminated, saying that the loop was broken. It was no longer a continuous loop. I was like, well, I don't understand that. This shouldn't have been cut. So I started trying to troubleshoot, and sure enough, everything I could figure out, the wire was severed somewhere. So I went to trying to figure it out, and I started digging up some random places that seemed most likely, and it wasn't there. So finally I decided I was going to have to start jumping separate, you know, I'd have to dig up a little section, cut it, and check for continuity is what I was going to have to do. And I was doing that every little bit. I would do a chunk, and nope, it's not there. So then I did another chunk, and I finally was going to be able to find it. However, I needed a really, really long piece of wire. I was like, oh, well, I know where that's at. I got a really long piece of wire. So I went in my barn and got my really, really long piece of wire that was a big, huge wad from when the puppy messed it up years ago. And I'll have to say, I don't know if you've ever untangled a spool of wire. And it's not, it wasn't loose, it wasn't flimsy wire either. It's pretty, it has lots of memory. So anytime you get a little kink, it hangs up on itself and gets, it was a mess. I think I spent more time untangling that wire than I did on the project itself of finding the bad spot, digging up the wire, fixing it, and putting all back together. I'm pretty sure I spent more time untangling that mess than I did actually fixing the problem that I had. Is that, I guess that's kind of like what Brother Rod was talking about this morning. Is that not sometimes how our entanglements work? I get, you know, a man that warreth. Let's just put it that way. I am now a chosen soldier. Paul told Timothy that thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're a soldier of Jesus Christ. You've been chosen by Jesus. Each one of us, I believe, are called to be an elite soldier of Jesus Christ. I believe, unfortunately, not everyone fulfills that role of becoming one of God's elite in his kingdom. I think that should be our goal. Unfortunately, and I think that's God's goal for every one of us, to be part of that 45% that make it through. I'm not trying to put numbers on who's Christians and who's not, but you understand what I'm saying. I feel like there's a lack at times of us, and I'm pointing at myself too, a lack of urgency and realizing that I've been chosen as a soldier. And it says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, but, and allow me to insert a word here, because that, so that he may please him, Jesus, who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I fully believe that God wants each one of us to reach the elite status of a soldier for him. And by losing focus, becoming entangled in, you know, it can be all kinds of things. I've allowed myself to be entangled with even studying things, or trying to, maybe I should say this, trying to figure things out of, well, I think Paul even talks about somewhere in one of his letters about just foolish questions, just lots of things. Avoid those things. Not that it's not, does it really matter what kind of tree he created in the Garden of Eden? You know, does it matter for my eternal destiny whether or not a walnut tree was a walnut tree at the creation, or if it was some sort of a tree that just over time, different species of, or different types of nuts, it doesn't, those are the kind of things I'm talking about. You understand that I've allowed myself to get so deep thinking I'm studying the word, but I'm going down rabbit holes that don't really matter. And I'm getting to places where, look, and please understand, I'm not saying don't try to learn things, but I can become entangled, and the devil would love for me to waste all my Bible study time on things that don't matter. Things that are just entangling me and get me distracted on what's actually important. There's things, y'all, that seem good. And I don't want to get specific, but there's things that are good things to do. We heard about the publican this morning, I think in Sunday school. Or not the publican, the publican and the Pharisee. And the things that the Pharisee was saying that he was doing was really good. he given his tithes. He doesn't, I can't remember all the stuff he said, but all the things he said he was doing weren't bad things. But was he not entangled? He had entangled himself in making sure that I'm doing all these good things. And he forgot to even pay attention to the one who called him to be a soldier. He was too focused on how good can I be? How good can I be about following the law, Moses' law? They wouldn't even hardly use, it didn't seem like they hardly used God's name. It was always Moses' law. It wasn't the law of God. They always tied it back to a person. And I guess that's my desire, is that we realize there's some things that we can become entangled in that seem right and seem good on the surface. And they are good. Good works are important. But we got to be careful that we don't become entangled with that being all that we ever focus on. We have to be careful, too, that whenever we do find ourselves in tough situations, I firmly believe that when we go through really hard places, our first instinct, our first human nature, is to try to get out as fast as possible. But I look at the instructors we talked about earlier in two ways. In one way, they act as the devil's advocate, encouraging you to quit. Quit. You can quit any time. You can go ring that bell. Go ring the bell. It's easy. Just go get up there and ring the bell. Get up there. There's hot coffee and donuts in there. And that's literally things that they tell them. You can go inside and warm up. You can get out of this cold water, all this sand. They have to live wet that whole week, by the way. They are constantly, they never get to put on clean, dry clothes. They're covered in sand all the time. They can quit anytime they want. Those instructors are there as devil's advocates to try to put that always in front of them, because they want to see what they're made of. I see that as Satan at times. Whenever we're going through, when the Lord sees fit to allow us to go through something hard, he can dangle that carrot in front of us and say, hey, you can quit anytime. I got hot coffee and donuts. I got hot chocolate. I've got cinnamon rolls. I got all these things in here if you just quit. If you just quit, if you just try to get out of this as fast as you can, I've got relief for you. But then I look at the other side of what these instructors are. Their desire is that these men stay with it. Their desire is that, no, I want you to stay, but I want to see what you're made of. I want to see if you can stick with this. I want to see if you're serious about this commitment you've made. Now, who does that sound like? It sounds like to me, my Jesus, whenever I'm going through something hard, he may even step back a little bit and just watch for a little bit and just see what I'm doing. Because there's times in my life that I have felt so alone and felt like God has abandoned me, Jesus has abandoned me, just let me off on my own. And you feel empty and scared and all those things in between. But then at some point he'll step back in and say, all right, child, you did it. You made it through that. You made it through. I think of that song where the man was recounting how God hugged him and said, you're my son. I love you. Not that he enjoys to see us going through hard stuff, but he wants us to become his chosen elite soldiers. And how are we going to do that except for we go through some training? Any of the hard places that I've gone through in my life so far, when I come out of them, I recognize what God was doing. In the middle of it, I didn't. And sometimes it takes a while to recognize what God was doing. But I fully believe that when we go through a hard place, a trial, it can look like everything's out of control and God has lost control of my life. But really what's happening is in the background, he's standing back there cheering us on, wanting us to make it through, trying to see, how serious am I about this? Am I going to come through this and still praise him anyway, like Job said, no matter what happens, I'm going to praise you, Lord. I'm not going to let this shake me. I'm not going to let any of the distractions on the outside entangle me. I'm not going to let not even my family entangle me and distract me from what the mission is. My goal, Lord, is to draw closer to you. When I come out of this test, I want to be stronger for it. These men, when they come out of this, at the very end of this week, the instructors come in a lot of times, and there will be just a few men left. And he'll tell them, this is one of the soldiers' account, as he said, the man walked in, and I think he might have even kind of, his voice cracked a little bit, but he told me, he said, you are secure. You did it. You made it through the worst part. You're on the path now to become a Navy SEAL. At that point, they're still not that, but nothing for the rest of their schooling is as difficult as that week was. Now, I'm not going to say that there's a certain point where we just no longer have any trials. That's not at all what I'm saying, except for when we come to the end of our life, I want to be able to walk up to the Lord. I get to the end of, I feel like we're going to be in training our whole time here. And when I walk up, that Jesus can look at me and say, you're secure. You made it. You made it through the worst part. Now you can come across and come join me over here. And I get to go to heaven with him. That's my goal. And I want not only that, but I want to be along the way, be able to collect and bring as many people with me as possible. I want to bring other people and say, hey, come on. It looks hard and it can be hard. But I'm going to tell you that it's just as hard to serve Satan. I can tell you it is just as hard to be on the other side, because he is a cruel taskmaster and he's not in it for your best interest. He's not behind in the back cheering you on. He's trying to look up for more ways to see if he can make you more and more miserable. One of the accounts of the soldiers that I read, he is talking about how the instructors were so hard while they're out there training. But there was moments that those instructors would break a little bit when they had some of the men on the side. They might would pull them to the side without everyone else hearing. No one else knew they would say it and say, hey, you can do this. And there was moments of, there was letting them know that, hey, I am still human. And telling them, hey, there was encouragement there. You can make it through this. And there's something worth fighting for to get through. Because when you get through this, the men that make it, they're what they call, they're a SEAL for life. They have a very tight-knit community. I want us I don't want us to discount. I guess this is why I love the epistle of 2 Timothy. I don't want us to discount the instructions of the people from the past either. I know some of the things that maybe has been said can bring up some fears of, oh, we don't want to follow. That's not the case. But we have to be careful. I think it was brought out in a message at Monarch. All those books and teachings and things are good. But if I go to those first instead of going to this first, what does the Bible say? This is my roadmap. This is the thing that gives me the instruction. This is what God put in front of me for me to learn from. This is what God put for all of us to learn from, plus His Holy Spirit. I don't want to discount the instruction of the past. That's not at all what I'm saying. And that's not what anyone has been saying. It's to not become entangled with all the things that are good. But we can lose focus on what really matters, and that's becoming one with Christ, becoming as close as possible to Jesus as I can, while studying to understand more of him. That's one of some of the instruction that Paul gave Timothy is study. Study to show yourself approved. Study the word. Study what does God say to you. Check it against the scriptures. What is being said? Check it with the scriptures. Make sure it's true. Make sure what I'm saying is true. Make sure that everything you do in your life measures back to this. And while you're doing that, don't let anything, you're at war. We're at war. It says, I think he said later in maybe Corinthians or somewhere, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not fighting a battle against flesh and blood. We're fighting against a power that we can't overcome. We have to have weapons from God, the armor of God. It's the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, all those things. Those are our weapons, and they're not carnal. They're spiritual warfare. And he's saying, if you're a man of war, you are fighting a battle. You can't entangle yourself with the affairs of life. You can't entangle yourself with all these things. You need to work to please him who's chosen you to be a soldier. We each one have been chosen as a soldier, and one day, I don't, for sake of boring y'all with two of my favorite passages, one day, as it says in Revelations 7, I think it is in 13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. In other words, I'm not sure, but you do. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Didn't make them white in the gospel of Jared. They didn't make them white. It was white in the blood of the Lamb, and that's the only thing that can do it. That is the only thing. It's not anybody else's gospel but Jesus Christ and his alone. And also, Revelations 21 and 3. I'm sorry. I think it's further down than that. Well, let's read all that. Revelations 21 and 3. Start with the last part of that verse. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And here's the verse I was really looking for. He that overcometh, sounds like war to me, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son or daughter. Y'all pray for me. Y'all, I want to do my part to become the best soldier for Jesus that I can. He's chosen me to be a soldier. He's chosen each one of you to be a soldier. He wants us to fulfill that duty. It's up to us whether or not we're going to allow ourselves to become entangled. I don't want to lose focus. I don't want to ring the bell as they have before them at the Navy SEAL training. I don't want to be the ones who everybody sneers at and says, well, there goes a quitter. I want to go through to the very end. I want to take this battle to the end. Until I can, like the scripture says, when we're all gathered around there, I can be one of the ones was washed in the blood of the Lamb. My robes are white. I'm one of the ones that he can say, these are they who came through great tribulation. These are my elite. These are my soldiers. They came, they made it. They all came through. They all made it. They went through the training. They went through the hard stuff. And like I said, it can get very hard. I look at what physically, my mind can't even comprehend what those soldiers go through when they're training. But then I look at what sometimes we watch people go through, and some of us have even gone through things ourselves. And we look back and say, I don't know how I made it through that. I don't understand how I did that, except for you get your eye on the on Jesus, and you don't get entangled and worried about all the things around us, and we can make it through. And I'll be the first to say, when some of the tough things happened in my life, I didn't handle everything quite right. And I did get entangled, and I did lose focus. And I'll be honest, I was at major risk of losing everything. I was at major risk of, I wouldn't say I was ever quite to the point where I was about to just hang it all up, but I was at risk, I'll say that. I was at risk of being one of the ones to go ring the bell and say, I'm done with this. Because sometimes we can look at it and say, he doesn't have this my best interest in mind. What is he doing? This doesn't make sense. Why am I sitting out here in the cold surf, sand everywhere, and I've been doing this for 4 days straight. I haven't had a good meal. I haven't slept but 2.5 hours in 4 days. What is he doing? This doesn't make any sense. But thank the Lord that he was able to reach me and keep me there on the beach, if you want to use the words there, and help me through. And I'm not saying I've reached the status of elite soldier. I haven't. But I'm sure doing my best to get that point. And I want to fight all the way until to the end, to when Jesus looks at me and I can be one of the ones, he can look at me and say, you're secure. You can come across and be with me forever. Y'all pray for me. My desire is to serve him and to help as many others as I can along the way.